Are you interested in understanding GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro? Then join us on The Plus Sides, Cracking the Obesity Code, the groundbreaking podcast helping people change their lives one episode at a time. The Plus Sides podcast is a disruptor. We're breaking down barriers, smashing stereotypes, and sharing inspiring stories that'll leave you feeling informed and empowered. Join us every week to learn from doctors who are specialists around GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro. They'll provide you with science and facts to validate these incredible stories. But that's not all. We'll also bring you the voices of the GLP-1 Mounjaro TikTok community, real people who face the challenges of obesity, related diseases and disorders, and discovered the incredible plus sides of GLP-1 medications. Our episodes are filled with heartwarming stories, laughter, and moments of triumph. You'll connect with our amazing community members who are reclaiming their health and experiencing their fullest lives. Are you ready to embark on a journey of discovery and empowerment? Tune in to The Plus Sides, Cracking the Obesity Code, and together we'll change the narrative around obesity and end the stigma. Subscribe now on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform and join our incredible community. Let's celebrate the plus sides of life together, because every story deserves to be heard. Every life deserves to shine, and everyone deserves access to expert knowledge and medication. The Plus Sides Podcast. You're not alone. It's not your fault.
And weight loss with Iveem, the top prescriber of GLP-1 medications. GLP-1s combat cravings, stabilize blood sugar, boost energy, and balance A1C levels for a regulated body and a kick-started weight loss journey. Iveem makes medical weight loss accessible, affordable, and personal. Schedule a free consultation with a medical provider to explore if GLP-1 medications are the right fit for you. Goodbye restrictions. Hello, Iveem. Your path to sustainable weight loss.
Officially down 120 pounds.
I am down 34 pounds.
Food cravings have subsided. I'm feeling amazing in my clothes.
I'm feeling better. I feel like I have more energy.
The process is a breeze. I can message my doctor at any time, and the entire prescription and medication was sent right to my door. Weight Care has helped over 15,000 people lose weight. Join them today and get $150 off your first month. Book your appointment at joinweightcare.com.
Change rooted in lasting, evidence-backed wellness. Say goodbye to unsustainable diet culture with Friday's Weight Management Program, a nationwide virtual care platform built to address your biology.
The reason why I started Fridays is that I noticed that patients with obesity are often improperly treated and told to eat less and move more. Well, the science is in, and we now know that obesity is a chronic medical condition like high blood pressure and diabetes, and that there are many factors, including your genetics, that play a role in the development of obesity. We understand this at Fridays, and that's why we make sure to order labs and specific medications that work with you and your biology.
We're revolutionizing weight management, steering clear of weight loss fads, and embracing a scientifically driven approach. Our program charts a path to a healthier you, leveraging evidence-based treatments, nutritional support, and a team of specialized clinicians dedicated to guiding you towards optimal health. We ensure swift appointment scheduling and provide a knowledgeable insurance team for handling prior authorizations for GLP-1 medication. Fridays will also provide safe, compounded GLP-1 medication alternatives with fair and industry-leading pricing. Our eligibility quiz will match you with the provider that corresponds with your medical needs. Go to joinfridays.com to begin your journey to a healthier you today.
Ozempic face.
Oh, yeah.
So people say, not just like actually losing weight and making your skin loose. People say that taking a GLP-1, like, I don't know if it like dries out your skin, sags your face. Could that just be we just need to use more lotion or, you know, Kim's neck cream?
This is just ridiculous, right? So when you lose weight, you lose sub-Q fat. So when you think sub-Q is in the skin, right?
right?
It's very visible in the face. So I want to take you all the way to an extreme example. Think about the cancer patient that's dying. Unfortunately, a lot of us have had experience with this, right? Mm-hmm. They are cachectic. You see their forehead. They lose this muscle, right? They're losing this. They're losing everywhere, right? So anytime you're losing a pronounced amount of weight, it's going to be everywhere. So all the skin, like you're losing the cushion underneath. I want you to think, if I took the pillow out of your pillow, what's just the sheet going to look like? That's the skin.
Okay.
Right. So that's for everything. It's not a cream that you need. I think the best thing you can do along this whole road is make sure that you have like a variety of foods. You have good, the micronutrients is the word I'm looking for. And ultimately, some people might decide sometimes as we get older, we're not able to look the way that we want. Some people will use fillers or get Botox, but this is a problem for all weight loss. It is not unique to GLP-1s. And I think it's quite vicious, to be honest. Again, it's another attack on the GLP-1 community, right? Always, it's for all weight loss, but we're just seeing it much more commonly. And so that's why they say this. Because there's no winning with them, right? Like these people that want to do this and this narrative. So before we were overweight and that was unhealthy and we really needed to do something about it, but there was no tool. And then now people are actually doing something about it, but that's a problem. And now you've gone too far. And, you know, so there's never a winning, right? So this is like the definition when a group is really marginalized, women, overweight, like you name it, we are in that marginalized group. And so again, it takes time to change the narratives on these things.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're trying. That's what we're talking about, the hard things here.
And it is just like a little pebble. When you throw it into the water, it's little, but maybe you know, the ripple will go far and wide. So you know, we hear that there are phases to weight loss, and that many of us are hung up on numbers on the scale. You know, however, there are other actual phases to weight loss. Could we touch on those phases?
Yeah, I love talking about this because nobody talks about the third one. So, well, and it's really interesting, and it's actually simple. I mean, the concept is it's you're going to under. I mean, you probably already do, but that initial rapid weight loss that everybody thinks is supposed to be sustained throughout all of their weight loss is just not all that exciting, because honestly, all that it is going to be a whole lot of glycogen stores, a whole lot of water, little bit of body fat at first, not a ton, little bit of muscle maybe. And so they see the number on the scale and they're like, oh my gosh, I lost 10 pounds in the first week. This is amazing. It's working.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, actually what you just told me is you have more glycogen stores. So you have more glycogen stores than that person who didn't lose all that at first.
What's that? What's that mean? I know the audience is going, what?
What is glycogen stores?
Yeah.
So let's say that you have Sally and Mary. Okay. And Sally exercises all the time. She eats really clean. And she is on a weight loss journey. Okay. She's ready to lose some weight. She's going to get her optimal health. Okay. And then Mary, all right. She likes to not eat so well. She doesn't really exercise. Okay. Yeah. They're the same weight. They're the same body fat percentage. They're the same body type. So they go to the same doctor, they get the same med, they get the same diet plan, the whole bit. Let's not call it that. Nutrition plan, the whole bit. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sally, who does all the exercising and eating well, loses 1 pound her first week. Mary loses 7.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because Sally didn't have so much glycogen store, so much excess glycogen store in her liver, in her muscles, in all those things. She's not retaining a ton of additional water.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. Just totally, oh my
I know.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's why it's so slow for me. I get it. Oh my God.
This is it, right? Because everyone all day long online, I'm like, stop glorifying the fast weight loss in the beginning. It's not.
It was never fast at all for me.
I don't think fast is good at all.
Oh my God.
No, because you said you like fitness. So I'm telling you, your body was doing all the things it was working real hard to do all those things. So you weren't going to release a whole lot. You didn't have a whole lot you were holding on to. So then what happens? That's phase one. Phase one is rapid loss.
Okay.
Phase two is where the actual fat loss happens. Phase two is slow as crap. I don't know if you can say.
Yes. Well, we say all the things.
Okay, fine.
Oh, yeah.
It's really slow. And so a lot of times people think, oh, I'm only losing 2 pounds a week. If you're losing two pounds a week, that is way too fast.
Yeah.
Like you're not. It's probably not fat. That's why it's very difficult for your body to let go of 2 pounds of body fat, pure fat every week.
Yeah.
0.5 is going to be more realistic, right? For people, it's good. 0.5. It is what it is. And it's slow and you're going to stall and you're going to have a little plateau. And then you know, the whole thing, it's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the fat loss phase. So then what happens is your body kind of is going to get happy at some point. And this is the whole thing where hormones start to come into play, leptin starts to come into play, and you're going to kind of hit your new set point. Okay, during your new set point, because a lot of times when people hit their first set point, they're not happy, they still want to lose more. And then they get discouraged because they're going to see the scale creep up.
Yeah.
So in a normal weight loss phase,
hey, I'm there.
You're going to gain up to 20% of that loss. So if you lost 100 pounds, you could gain, I mean, do the math, like 20 pounds could be normal. Like, I'm just saying it could be.
Yeah.
Now don't worry about it because your body just has to recalibrate. You're going to be able to hit that phase two again.
Okay.
Definitely. You're not going to go to phase one because you're doing you're too healthy.
Sure. Now. Yeah.
You'll hit phase two again when your body's ready, but we don't know when your body's going to be ready. It could be a year. Really good.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Explains.
Wow. Fascinating.
Everything. But in 2023, I think I maybe lost so little weight, but I shrank like 2 pant sizes. So I was like, I'm just going to go with this. Also, I'm a Libra. I'm a strong, firm believer in living my life and still having my wine and my chocolate and my cheese.
Sure.
So I'm not going to give it up.
Let's do all that.
I'm not binging. You know, I'm not having a whole cake, but dang it, I'm going to have a cake.
I just want to be in control of my own choices. Like, I know that sounds ridiculous. Like, because you're like, you're picking, right? Right, Kat? Like, it's like I think Kat and I both struggled with binge eating disorder. But like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, I felt like I had no choice. Like, it was, I keep thinking about French fries. Like, I have to, I don't, it was like that pull every single time. And now I can look at them and go, I don't really need that. I had a couple and I'm good. Other people can do that. I've never been able to do that. Those acrobatics in my brain until now.
The way she like explained it scientifically.
Oh. Yeah. That's why we do this.
I know. Humor me. I guess I'm being selfish at the moment because I'm being treated right now.
It's our show.
There's got to be someone out there that experiences the same thing. I think about like when we talk to people from the community and they say, I was working out twice a day and I didn't see the scale move. But I always said, when I had those times, start measuring, take out the measuring tape and start measuring things. Mm-hmm. How fast, how much is your strength improved? Because that scale is an a-hole.
How is this different from when people are like losing weight? I feel like when people have weight loss surgery, right? And not even like lap band, like I had, like when people have like sleeve and stuff. We've had some bariatric surgeons on the show and they lose weight, like a ton of it, and they lose it like quickly and it is rapid. Mm-hmm. And then eventually it kind of starts to taper off for them. Are the phases of the weight loss sort of the same when you're having bariatric surgery as opposed to like GLP-1s or even just like not taking anything at all and losing weight? Do you still have those same phases?
I see the same phases. I just see it being much more rapid with bariatric surgery because the calorie deficits are so much more extreme. I mean, some people, again, I'm not going to talk out of turn. You're going to listen to your doctor, but there's a lot of people after bariatric surgery that are eating like 800 calories. They're not eating 15, 16, 17, 1900, right?
Yeah.
So it's much more pronounced. It 100% applies because this is actually why I got into obesity medicine. The level of shame that the post-bariatric community has when they regain it is through the roof. I have my patients had bariatric surgery in the past of all different kinds. The same phases apply, yet they think, well, I had this huge intervention, so I should be like fixed for life. And it's like, no, you're not immune to all the same changes.
Yeah.
And one of the things I wanted to talk about is that shame is leads to then binge eating disorder and all the other things being worse, right? So it's like, if you can have some compassion that like, this is a physiologic thing that's happening. This is actually not that I've suddenly gone back to old bad patterns or all these kind of things. And of course, it's always helpful if someone like me or Allie's helping you through it. If you have that, then I don't see the regain be as much or as out of control, or like it goes all the way back to the beginning. That doesn't need to be the case, but you need to know that, like, I have a lot of patients that they've been, for example, on Mounjaro for more than a year, all of them, like once they reach that, like some of them even 31, 35, 40% weight loss, a little bit of a creep up. I'll see about 6-7 pounds, again, depending on how much people have lost, because every month I'm tracking their weight, total body weight. And it's like, if I were to graph it, it's classic. It's that little dip, then they come back up and they're stabilized. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. And the mental piece of that, I think, is really intense. Like we have someone in the community, who just found out that she is pregnant. So she had to stop the medicine, and she's starting to gain some weight. And the mental piece of that, like, wait, I'm pregnant. Right. Like, wait, you know, and like having to shift back in, right, to that mentality.
But would you believe that I have a lot of patients that stick with me, and same thing with you, Ellie, right? Like that stick with me through pregnancy because they're like, I get, I'm not on the med anymore, but I want to continue to have your support. And they want the mental aspect of being supported.
Oh, I believe it.
Number one, they don't want to be dumped, right? And pregnancy is a normal, natural, amazing thing that is happening. But if you put your whole worth in what the scale's doing, now it's like a ton of bricks that's going to hit you, right? You don't have the time to sort of disassociate yourself from the problem, right? So yes, it's a big thing. Ellie, do you want to comment on that more? I mean, I actually see this a lot with young women that I work with.
Yeah.
And actually, I love supporting women in pregnancy because I find it to be one of the most effective approaches to heal body dysmorphia and to actually help them develop a better relationship with their body. So we actually go ahead and we flip completely into an intuitive way of eating, making sure they're getting the right amount of protein and whatnot. But we flip more into an intuitive where I actually say your only rule is to ask your body exactly what it wants. And so their body's going to do what it's going to do anyway. We can't control that. And honestly, the mindset work can be so profound during the pregnancy that when it's post-pregnancy and they want to have some weight loss, they're in a completely different space. So they now heal. They've spent like 9 to 10 months healing their relationship with their body.
Right.
It's a game changer. So I try to find outside the box ways of approaching these types of things. And that's what I promote then. So we go completely intuitive eating, honoring your body, moving your body in the way that it wants to move.
Yeah.
All that.
And like her being up, I, the only thing I knew to say to her, I was like, do you have any idea how much of that is fluid? Like, friend, it's okay. Yeah. And you're going to grow up because you're growing a human, you know, but she's been battling obesity for her. She got PCOS, type 2 diabetes, like her whole life. She's been battling it forever. So, you know, I think she just got down. She got married, got down, like, you know, got down to this little weight. And I was like, bam, right? And I think that it's just like, it's so hard when you've bounced like this forever, right? And then you finally find the thing that works. And then you're going to have the amazing miracle. And it's wonderful. We all know that, right? But at the same time, it's like, what does it do? And I think that's a really good point. We should have an episode about that. That would be really, I think, good.
Yeah. You know? There's a lot to be gained with that work. And honestly, unless there's a reason, most people aren't signing up for that program.
Yeah.
That was actually my story. Like, I think that's actually when my work, I know this is going to sound funny, but when I got pregnant, I very soon got gestational diabetes. And I mean, from one minute to the next, I was changing how I was eating, what I was doing. I was walking. And of course, it was like I had this external thing driving it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I had such shame that I'd gone into pregnancy so overweight. Like I was over 150 pounds overweight and interacting with the medical system. And it was just such an opportunity for me to learn to love my doctor and learn to show up for myself in a way that I never had. It's like, I'm gonna start crying. It's it's a really beautiful thing. So I want people to know that if you've spent a lot of time losing weight, you've loved yourself tremendously. That's the best gift you can give yourself, your baby. You made yourself a really healthy vessel. But even if you're starting out and you were like me and you didn't know it and that happened, again, all versions work, but the work is that you have some trust in what's happening.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome. I think that when you hit like stalls and plateaus and all that, and I've hit all of them, and sometimes it's hard for me because I see my friends and I know they hit stalls and plateaus, but I hit them for months. And so I've lost 100, but I have other friends who have lost 150, 200 pounds in the same amount of time in 18 months, right? They've lost way more than me. And I for sure, I'm like, is it because I'm not eating enough? Is it because I'm not, you know, or whatever it is. Like, I'm.
Are you comparing?
I am. I do all the time. And then I will look people straight in the face and go, don't you compare yourself to other people? And I'll be like, wait a minute.
I'm like, the same though. Yeah.
I'm like, if you could not do one thing on your weight loss journey and just like not ever do this, it's to not compare, because it's truly deadly. It's going to stop you from progress.
Yeah.
If you never have the same journey as someone next to you. I know we all do it, but just remind yourself, let that be the trigger to me to work on not doing that. Like this.
Yeah. The trigger. That's a really good idea.
Five second rule.
You drop the nugget on the floor, but you could pick it up if you blow on it. But yeah, that's something that I remember. Like when I would have those moments, I'm like, okay, but right. I would chicken nugget, pick it up. Right. And I would be like, okay, what's changed for me that it's still worth it to keep doing what I'm doing aside from the weight? And I would break down like the obsessive anxiety. I would break down, you know, the fact that I'm not like driven to like have to eat the fry. I am in control of my choice. I can say no and then not constantly think about the fry all night long that I didn't eat, right? That power, the power of having that back and being, I don't know, responsible and accountable for every choice I make or don't make. Like at least if I ate all the fries, I would be like, but I ate them because I wanted them and I was hungry and that's what I wanted to eat. Right. Yeah. But I don't know why I keep going back to French fries. I guess that's what I think about when I think about, can't you stop eating? Right. But it's like things like that, like I just want it. You have to think about the other things that the medicine is giving you, I think, during those plateaus and stalls and all of that, because if not, you'll do the comparison thing like I did.
Yeah.
And you won't pick up the chicken nugget.
I always bring up, it's like, if I were to hand you on a platter, be like, look, in a year from now, you're going to have lost 100 pounds. You're going to be doing this. You're going to be doing that. You'd be like, yes, kid at Disneyland. Right. But like when you're in the moment, we forget that perspective. Right. That's so amazing. I think we all do it, but it's good work.
Yeah. And the thing I'd like to offer.
Yeah.
If I may.
No.
Go is, of course. Is that, I mean, I think we can agree to agree that you have impacted at this point hundreds of thousands of people. I think we can agree on that. So you're not supposed to have a short journey.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, it's not over yet. Too bad about that.
It's too profound. Your impact is too profound. So there's more you're supposed to uncover to share, I believe. So I would say that a rush journey for you would be a huge loss for many people. Sorry.
No, best friend.
Okay. You take it. You have a little teary moment. I'm going to ask the question. I'm going to get science.
All right, you ask the question. Get science-y.
But I feel that.
I like it. Yeah. We touched on it earlier. I wanted to ask like the definition of both of them. Like, what is insulin resistance? And then what is leptin resistance?
Okay. Well, I know Dr. Rente can also talk about this beautifully.
I'll start.
Look, tag team.
Totally. I'll talk insulin first because, leptin is the one people like to have a lot of fun with, but yet very few really understand it. Believe me, I never
know. I'm not sure people understand the insulin resistance.
we'll talk about them all, but I'm going to simplify. Super simple.
I love it.
Yeah. Okay. The other thing I want to say, and this is really, really interesting. And I have to throw it in there. So, only like if we're using obesity as a diagnosis, only 2% is actually medically treated. 2%. Okay. So if anybody is like, you know, saying like, oh, well, look what's happening. And now they're getting treated. Yeah. There's 2% of obesity that's actually getting treated. So imagine like
then you mean?
Medically.
You mean? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Medically. Wow. So
2%. So my 2%.
2%.
2%
medically.
Just too little.
Yeah. But that just goes to show you, I mean, 50% of our country, right, fits that criteria. So I wanted to put that out there. But insulin resistance, this is a really, really fun one. So insulin is made in the pancreas, and insulin is actually really useful. A lot of times we're like, we hate insulin, but no, actually insulin does something for us. The idea is that insulin allows us to have a normal blood sugar. Okay. So when we first kind of get started, let's just pretend, you know, unless somebody has type 1 diabetes where they don't have any insulin. So let's just say you're born and everything's working properly. So when you're consuming substrate food, your blood sugar is going to increase. And because of that increase in your blood sugar, you're going to have a release of insulin. Now, different macronutrients are going to cause different release of insulin. For example, carbohydrates are going to have your highest release of insulin, whereas dietary fat, there's going to be the lowest release of insulin. When you combine foods, protein, carbohydrates, and fat, that's going to be a very nice normalized insulin response. So what happens with insulin resistance? Insulin resistance is when our blood sugars are kind of high all the time. And a lot of times this can be due, again, genetic, there's going to be a huge component of that. Also, sometimes like how our diet in America, you know, potentially we eat a lot of processed stuff, higher carbohydrate, higher, less, lower fiber. And so over time, the blood sugar can be higher. So you're going to have more and more insulin being released just to take care of that blood sugar level. Okay, so that's how the resistance develops. So think of resistance like the insulin that used to work to bring your blood sugar from 120 to 80, that amount doesn't work anymore. You now need double that amount to bring your blood sugar from 120 to 80. So that's insulin resistance. And so what happens is insulin is anabolic, meaning it helps with storage. So yes, it helps store our muscles up. So again, when we were talking about after you eat, after you worked out, yeah, you're going to have an insulin response. And yes, you're going to push some into the muscle, but anything left over is stored as fat. So insulin is highly fat storage. Okay, so again, if you can imagine it, if you have a lot of extra insulin because you're insulin resistant, you're going to have a higher tendency to store body fat.
Oh. And does that also affect your appetite? Like say if, yes, is this what it is? Like, so I remember when I would have like a full lunch, I eat a sandwich, a whole, like, and I always want lots of vegetables and meats. And then 20 minutes later, why do I want another freaking sandwich? Why am I so delicious? Hungry? They were delicious. Yeah.
And but it can be,
so that would be insulin resistance, right?
Well, so. Potentially. So it can be, right? Because like, then you have this big surge of insulin and then all of a sudden it hits you, your sugar is going to drop, but maybe your sugar isn't dropping to a normal range, but maybe your sugar is dropping by 20 points. And for you, you can feel that fluctuation, which is kind of, we call it hypoglycemia hunger. Mm-hmm. However, here's the other thing that we don't talk about too much. There's also people who hypersecrete insulin. So you can have somebody who just produces more insulin naturally. And so they tend to drop their blood sugars a lot quicker. And again, they tend to get hungrier quicker, right? Because it's kind of like, it's this whole thing because you're dropping the sugar. You're like, okay, now I'm hungry, but maybe you're not really hungry. And so, and Dr. Renti, you can add to that, but that's kind of how I explain it.
No, I think that did it justice. It's just the way I always say that, like to just add to what Ali said, the machinery is not working properly anymore. So when people want to use the same tools of like, just decrease your calories, a lot of people, like you were talking about, Kat, like their hunger's through the roof and it's not controlled by an appetite suppressant like phentermine, right? Like a lot of people, phentermine is more stimulant based, right? It's an oral medication. It will work a few months and then they're like, I'm back to where I'm hungry and it doesn't work. Like it doesn't work long-term, otherwise we would do it, right? And I'm not saying it's not a medicine that can be used in certain scenarios.
Sure, yeah.
But the point is these things need to actually be addressed at a metabolic level. So whether that's taking a medication, whether that's nutrition change, whether that's exercise, whether that's stress reduction, because actually stress is one of the stress hormones that actually does have a part with leptin and insulin and all the other ones. So they're actually, none of these are existing in isolation. So what I often see people do is they want to take a little lab study and they want to take this one hormone out and they want to be like, this is what it does. And I'm like, here, friends, like they all interact with each other. They're all in play within the body. That's why obesity is so hard. So
that's why it's so complex.
So complex. Yeah.
Yeah. See. Yeah.
And that's why we need specialists and we need more of them.
We need more of you.
Yeah, we do. Yes.
More of you too.
Yes, we do.
More of you too, and like clone yourselves.
It's very difficult, guys. You wouldn't believe the stuff that we see on lives. Like it's.
I do, Kim, because I stopped going on them because it scared me. And I was like, I can't even be in the room to be privy to hearing this stuff.
It
like,
keeps me up at night. The people that come in and they're like, oh my God, I was just sick in the hospital on Wegovy. And I'm like, okay, like Tom, what happened? Right. Cause we're not doctors. We just say, how can we support you? Like as people anecdotally, right. And, or I'll say what I heard from doctors on the show, like that's how JT and I do it. And Mm-hmm. And so they'll come in and go, oh, my doctor couldn't find the medicine. So he started me on 2.4 of Wegovy.
Yeah, literally.
Literally. That's the kind of, it is not every now and then. We get that crap all the time.
Okay, someone
we started at 1.7. We've never been on GLP before.
What? Yeah, if someone new is listening and they don't understand why we're all having this reaction, there's 5 different doses for Wegovy. And that's saying each dose you're on weekly for a month. So it's saying they just skipped to month 5 and your body kind of needs time to get used to these things. You might even need more than 1 month on a certain dose. So to just go to the top, but you know what that speaks to? Again, it's clinicians that are not experienced with these meds. I mean, primary care doctors like them, anyone can, and they often do a great job. I'm not putting them down. It's just, you got to know what you're doing. Like when you restart a med, when they've been on the highest dose and they're going to something else, that makes no sense, but they don't know how to cross titrate a lot of the time.
Yeah, totally.
That makes me think about it. Like, Eli Lilly is doing more education, right, for practitioners.
I hope so.
They are.
And that's the thing I see. Everybody wants not everybody. That's total generalized statement. Often people want the next dose. And what I'll say, where I've seen my people have the most success, is going to be going super slow with increasing that dose and really establishing those lifestyle parameters.
Yeah.
They're going to literally exactly. And honestly, this is the person who is going to be able to ride out the lowest dose for months. Yeah. And I usually say, ride it out until nothing is happening or that hunger is really coming back to a degree that it's super uncomfortable. Then we bump it. Right.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot we can do because and this is what I'll say, that medications are not the easy way out. I would actually say that it's a commitment, right? Yeah. And so you're committing
A long-term commitment.
It is.
It's a long-term commitment. We have to honor that. And so what I say is kind of like, listen, you've already invested in your willingness to do medication. Let's optimize everything. Optimize everything.
Yeah.
Because you're already committing to yourself. So let's just do it all.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that because, so many people are in a rush and I get it because
it's diet culture, guys. You know, that's what this all comes down to, right? It's our society. They've been telling us forever, rapid weight loss, this and that. Like and it's also, I think, what is expected. I think when people are like, oh, you're on this weight loss journey, but like, let me tell you something. I've told people to come and ask me what I'm doing before when I lose like 20 pounds. And if I tell them I'm on Weight Watchers, none of them go, you're going to gain it back. None of them say that to me. Right. But these dumbass people on the internet come on and say that junk to me every stinking day. And it drives me nuts, which leads me to my next and maybe final question until we just like talk for a while. But what about the regain itself? So we hear a lot about people going into maintenance and staying on a certain dose. I think that a lot of people say things like, there's not enough long-term studies to know how this helps people. You know, you really don't know what this is going to do to you if you don't have type 2 diabetes, all of that different stuff. Like, I feel like that's something we need to like talk about what's real about that and what's not. Do you guys have opinions?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have two things I want to say, and then I know Dr. Renty is going to have good stuff. the first thing I want to say is that there are, I want to say, 4 times the amount of, so there's four, so obesity, let's just say the diagnosis, it's going to be 4 times that of type 2 diabetes diagnosis. So what does that tell you? Well, eventually type 2 diabetes, right? So our culture doesn't love preventative health, right?
No.
So the idea is this, it's kind of, I was going somewhere really important with this and now I can't really, it's not like going the same way as I imagined it in my brain. So I'm just going to skip to the part that I really did want to talk about.
Okay.
And that was like the idea of medication and the weight regain. Well, one of the questions that comes up is leptin. And so we didn't talk about this, but leptin resistance, somebody cannot have any insulin resistance. And somebody could kind of have this pattern where they essentially have been dieting their whole life. There's no insulin resistance that they can tell on lab. They're not centrally adding adipose tissue kind of centrally, which is a lot of times where we see insulin resistance. And what we notice is that what you would expect them to lose weight on, they're not losing weight on. So you might give them a 1500, maybe it's somebody who weighs 300 pounds and you're giving them 1800 calories and they're losing nothing and they're consistent. Yes. And so a lot of times what happens is actually leptin resistance. So what, in the way that it easily explained, is that fats that our body fat makes leptin. Okay. So if you have enough body fat, you're going to have plenty of leptin. And what happens is your brain doesn't recognize that you have plenty of leptin. It's resistant to understanding that you have enough leptin. Mm-hmm. So your brain actually thinks that you're low on body fat stores. Mm-hmm. Also, when we think leptin is low, then a lot of times the ghrelin is going to increase, which is the opposing factor of leptin, which makes us hungrier. Mm. So now you have plenty of body fat, you're starving, and all you want to do is eat, and you can't understand why you can't lose weight. Well, what happens with leptin resistance is it drives down your ability to burn energy. So to find, everybody argues about this calories in, calories out. It's way more complex than that. But what I will say is fine. If you want to really go ahead and really go head to head on this, okay? Great. Let's go ahead and let's make somebody with leptin resistance lose body fat. But we're going to need about 500 calories for about 6 months total to be able to see some
shift. What? 500 calories a day?
A day?
A week?
The amount of energy that they expend because of the leptin resistance. Because again, this resistance makes our energy burn go down significantly. The deficit, maybe it's a deficit, but the deficit isn't sustainable. So
yeah,
but this is what I want to say. I'm getting to my point.
Yeah.
If somebody goes on medication, now the treatment for leptin resistance is fat loss. Mm-hmm. So if somebody goes on a GLP-1 medication, they lose fat and they become more leptin sensitive, which can happen.
Yeah.
Okay. I've seen plenty of cases where people are off the medication and they're maintaining just fine because they committed to 90 grams of protein and 3 days of strength training at 10 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
Here's the thing though. They might have the mental chatter come back. And I have a lot of people that restart based on mental chatter because the quality of life is so much better.
The quality of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dr. Ellie, I think that's the main thing that I hear with people. It's that they finally had a place where it wasn't like a second job that they had, where they had to maintain how much I'm eating, when I'm eating. Like I just had someone say to me how they went on a road trip and they were like, for the first time ever, they didn't need to think about what did I pack with me and where are we going to stop? And is there going to be food? Like she was
Will there be enough food? Will I like it?
Right? She was like, I can't believe that that's cleared. I think here's my thing. I think, so you were asking about weight regain, right? So I love all the physiology that Ali provided. Here's the thing I want to say practically that I see with my patients. Mm-hmm. The weight regain potentially can be less, but you've got to be willing to keep changing things. And so I think people think when they get to maintenance, yes, you keep doing the habits that you did, but that doesn't mean you're not going to still regain weight. And so if you want to be that mythical unicorn that's going to keep it and maintain it and not change within reason, right? Like 5 or whatever pounds up or down, whatever you decide your range is, then you're going to have to keep innovating and adapting. Meaning maybe you still do the 10 minutes, but maybe the intervals are up to the strength that you're using. Maybe you're now, instead of walking, you're running the 30 minutes. Like, but something's going to have to change. I do not see people be able to just do the same thing and maintain. They are usually naturally changing things. If you really deep dive into their stories, they're changing the types of foods they're eating. They're changing how they're moving. They're like getting more active on the weekend with their family. So if you really looked at it, they are changing a lot to be able to even maintain where they're at. That's the only thing. So people think I'm there, I'm good. Nope, you actually need to keep changing because your body gets smarter with what it's doing.
Yes. Wow.
Interesting. Wow. I mean, I guess that tracks. I mean, it's something I'm going to have forever. It's why I won't just like rule out weight loss surgery because I have no idea if, when, ever, how I may have to.
I told Ali this at the beginning of working together. I'm sorry, Ali, I'm going to share a moment. And I just like sat on a couch with Ali at her retreat and I was like, look, whatever tool is needed, however it's needed, you know, right now this is working, but like, and Ali was like, I don't think you're going to need that. But the point is like, it's really whatever tool at whatever time and being open. Ali, I want to like give this back to you for a second. Cause you talk a lot about mirroring the journey. And I think I never understood this. I'm smiling because recently I had my own scale trauma and Ali was like, you know, trust the process. And she was like talking me through a lot of things, but marrying the journey means, and maybe Ali, you have other thoughts on this. Here's how I've internalized it, that there is no ending. I'm going to love everything I'm doing. I'm always going to be figuring out, listening to myself, trusting myself. using whatever tool is needed, that's very different than we've reached the summit and we're done, right? Yes. Then you're not ever surprised if weight comes back. You're not ever surprised if there's a challenge. Like, got it. And this is why a lot of clinics like mine, you keep going with them because you're not just like, oh, I'm done. You know, it's like, same with me. Like, I've had the same doctor the longest time, right? You're not just done. You need their help with when these things pop up, right?
Yeah. And I do think that my brain, and I have to fight it because it doesn't want it. It's going to throw, I swear, guys, it throws everything at me it can to get me to eat food, like, and more food and too much food and the not food that's not the best for you and all that kind of stuff, you know? And it does. It'll be like, we're okay. We don't need to go back to our obesity doctor. Yes, we do. Like, I have, but I can at least gear shift now and be like, the hell are you doing telling me this? Like, that's not happening. But I have those thoughts. We can have more chicken wings. No, we actually can't. I think it's just so interesting the pace at which my brain can work now, and I can make those reasonable, rational choices just like that, where I can be like, okay, depends on the tool later. And I'm telling you, my brain is not the kind of brain that doesn't worry about the future and all the ifs, ands, or buts until this medicine. And now I can literally say what I feel like other people have been saying to me forever, which is something like, you know, they'll say, let's cross that bridge when we get to it, or like all of those different things, or you can't really control those things, or you're worrying about things that probably never even happen, or, you know, you're just worrying a bunch for no reason and things like that. I didn't have that switch before, you know, but now I can. And so it's easier for me to be like, this is going to be a lifelong thing for me. Like, what can I do to be able to continue my learning and continue the process and continue the treatments and try to like help other people do the same, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's amazing that I've never been able, I don't know how to describe it except for that it was like I was a car, right? And I only had drive, and drive was consume, right? And now it's like I can reverse and I can steer the wheel. I have a wheel too. And like all these different things.
It's
a neutral madness. I can just shift and have some chicken wings. Clearly I'm hungry. I talk a lot about fries and chicken wings tonight. That's also what I do when I'm hungry. My brain's like, what do we like the most that I know we can eat the most of right now to get us the food that we need? And they're like, chicken wings, french fries. And I'm like, no, we don't. That's another thing too, is like, I'll go, this is interesting. I'm sorry. But like, I'll go, I don't really want that. Like, I would rather have some Brussels sprouts, you know, like, because that's it. I recognize that that's just like visceral. Like, you know, like it's just like a natural thing within me that my body's just trying to say, we need to put food in us now, you know, because I don't have that normal like hunger thing that I had before. I don't have the food noise before. It's totally different. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. Clearly.
It is.
I made a podcast about it. Sure did. Well, this has been a lovely conversation.
Every day. I love what you're doing. I can feel the community within the community that you've created. And TikTok is brand new to me. Honestly, Dr. Rentia was like, okay, so why aren't you on TikTok? And I said, don't you have to like shake your booty and twerk? I don't know.
I mean, you can.
And then I'll be honest, it's really kind of given me a different view on how I can even serve people better. So just realize, you know, you're inspiring us. Mm. So just keep doing what you're doing. It's so needed. And honestly, I'll tell you this, in our lifetime, you know, you're going to hit a certain age, everyone will, and everyone's going to have an obesity medicine doctor, because we're going to be looking at genetics saying, hey, listen, when you're 32, this is what's going to happen. So let's get you on now. We're going to prevent it. And so it's going to be, obesity medicine is the best field of medicine. I'm convinced.
It's definitely fascinating.
I agree with you. For sure.
It's like, I do. I also think so. It is amazing how big TikTok is and how much it's exploded with all of these people. And, you know, but honestly, like 18 months ago, it was null. Like when I got here, there was no one that was on Ozempic, no one that was talking. I was on Saxenda. Nobody was talking about Saxenda. There was only the Mounjaro because the savings card, right? And that's how the community really got started. That's what it was. And it exploded from there. But still, it was like maybe 100 people, you know? It was like, even that.
Buy your Lily stock now. That's all I'm saying.
I know.
You really,
that's
even
like Metatrutide and all that coming out. I know. I don't know how to buy stock. I'm not going to lie. I have a 401k. I pay someone to do it for me. I don't even know how.
I
don't. I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll buy stock. Put it on my list.
Save up your money to buy one stock. Like Amazon, when Amazon had split off. Eli Lilly might get to that point. Now that we think about, wow. All right, that's another show.
Yeah, that's another show, ladies and gentlemen.
Maybe you should. Maybe I should consider buying some stock in Eli Lilly. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
It might split off.
Yeah. I know. Do it now. Yeah. Probably should have done a year ago, but now's good. Yeah.
You go ahead and do that. No. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, this has been so great, guys. Thank you so much. I'll for all of our friends listening who want to know more, I'll make sure that I link their TikToks and their bios and websites and everything, especially if you're needing care in any way. So you know like where they can operate, and you'll have all the resources that you need, because that's also what we try to do here. So thank you so much for joining us, ladies.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Oh my God, that was so good. Did you learn a lot? I learned so much. Dr. Antia was like, I think that we should just debunk all the things. And I'm like, all right. Do we debunk all the things? Is there anything we missed?
Almost all of them. That muscle thing.
I think that we debunked like about 98 to 99% of it. And
I love that 2% stat. Only like every time someone says that we are like people on these medicines are causing the economy to change, 2% of people with obesity are being treated. 2%. No.
That in your pipe.
That's not enough to do shit. Sorry. No. Just more evidence that it's not your fault. Like more evidence.
Look, evidence, receipts, everything. And at least people will hopefully be able to take away not just talking points, but great, like factual scientific information to like debunk all of the, you know, people selling the snake oil, you know, supplements and stuff like that, where they're shaming GLP-1s and GLP-1 users.
Jillian Michaels diet pills that she's been pushing for years.
Yeah.
Oh, Jillian
Michaels
diet pills. Yeah. Weren't they effective?
It's really sad when you have to, I think, go against every, like all the scientific data, right? And because it is, and like hold on to this weird ass thing where you're like, just so you can stay relevant.
Yeah.
Like, why would you want to be relevant for something like that? I don't understand. Like, I get that we should always question science. We should, right? We should question it. But there's a lot. There's so many studies. It's like overwhelming.
But
you know?
Kim, what you're saying is rational, because fame is an addictive drug, hon.
Clearly.
You're right. Attention. Jillian is losing her, like,
what is
it? Yeah.
That fame stock, like her relevancy stock, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're on social. We get it.
But you know what?
Yeah, but that's another level. Like when, like,
I would never just come and say like worldwide stupid things just so people would find me relevant.
That's her shtick. Maybe she doesn't think that's her shtick.
Did you see Trisha's duet that I did, where she had all those clips of Jillian Michaels screaming at people and being like, I don't care if you this or that. I just want your ass smaller. I don't care if you die as long as your ass is smaller. She said horrible stuff. I can't even think that they even allow that show. Like, it's so bad.
With all that we know now, because I was so caught up in diet culture, I thought
I pry it out all the time.
I considered like, hey, what if I auditioned for The Biggest Loser? You know, I actually thought
of course.
That's how deep in diet culture we were, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. By the way, did you see your body be banging in that red dress in the picture I sent you?
You'd be banging. Yeah.
It was banging.
Jessica Rabbit. Bam,
bam, bam. Jessica Rabbit. Bam, bam, bam. I mean, like, Jessica bam. Rabbit. Yes. 200. Like, if you weren't married and needed to be on, like, Tinder or Grindr, that's the one.
That's 240 pounds, baby.
I'm just saying.
235.
That doesn't even look like 235 or 240.
No.
It's just I had a conversation with my girlfriends last night. I said, yeah, my highest, I got to like 320. And they're like, girl, where? I was like, yeah. Big shirts and leggings, honey. That's
Wow.
Big shirts and leggings. And, well, flattering shirts, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. Yeah. Cool. Does anybody have any NSVs this week?
Did I think of an
NSV? Or SVs.
I feel like
JT's still losing.
You know what? I think JT, so I was very impressed. When I popped up on your live a little bit, but you know, I had to get back to work. But you were short of breath. You're like, hey, you're on your stepper with, I was like, JT. And you know what? I think that's probably the reason why you're losing again is because you're getting active. So
stop doing that. Hold still. Hold still, JT. But don't get too skinny, JT. Skinny.
You don't want to, but if you want to, you know.
No.
I'm just teasing. I just hate that people say that. You're too skinny. Stop it. Stop it right now. As compared to what? It's all relative. That's the thing, is they see us how they saw us, and then they see it in contrast, and they're like, that equals too skinny.
And they see you now.
Because a lot of people won't, a lot of doctors, if you're below like 22, they won't. They don't want to treat you.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that's something that when I first entered this maintenance journey, I didn't even realize that. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe a lot of us didn't realize that, but I literally weighed myself this morning and I'm at 140. So right now I weighed in this morning at 145.2.
Wow.
That's the
lowest. When you were so close to that 150.
Yeah.
Remember that? And you were like, you could taste it. And all that diet culture was like flooding in you. I could see it. I could feel it. I'm like, just let her do what she do.
I was so close though. I'm like,
I know you could like taste it. I know. And now here it is. Well surpassed that, right?
But my NSV would be on this day last year was the Super Bowl and I did a video. It was my injection day and I put on the same exact outfit that I had on in that original video.
Oh,
and I thought that would be interesting to see the difference of how those boyfriend jeans were actually like tight jeans. And now they really are boyfriend jeans. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Great idea, Janine.
That's a good idea.
Try on some dresses.
Oh, make a video. Yeah.
Look, everything is content.
Everything is content. Everything. But I'm telling you, for sure, you're talking yourself out of it. Right. And I think a lot of that's kind of the obesity, right? Like we don't want to lose weight. We don't want to lose weight. Lose skin. We don't want to do that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I think that my body often will send in all the troops to get me to stop losing weight. All the troops.
I'm sorry.
Like, here we go. Make her hungry for all the things and wings and fries, you know, like things like that, you know, and just thoughts in general, bad thoughts in general, anything that would take to like change my behavior. You know, I don't know all the troops to make me gain weight.
It's interesting. People, I actually saw a woman say, "Well, I really don't want to do it because I'll lose my hair." I'm like, "Honey, you can buy some."
Yeah, and it'll grow back. It'll grow back.
We didn't ask that question, darn it. Yeah. I didn't lose hair, but then again, like I said,
I lost a little.
I made the decision. I'm gonna eat.
I lost a little bit.
I think losing slow cat was helpful for me. And maybe you too.
It's very helpful.
Yeah.
Losing fast. If you are not on a GLP-1 and say you lose fast and you do like some crash diet, you are going to lose your hair as well.
Yeah. 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is like a losing weight.
Bariatric surgery. People.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
They're losing hair after bariatric surgery because they can't keep any food down.
Yes. It's not even just that. It's just the shock of the weight loss to your body. That's what it is. Yeah. But people don't know that. You know,
it's like what Dr. Allen said. She said, like, you know, slow weight loss is the best, and you can't. That's way too much weight loss to lose per week.
She's lovely. We should have her on again.
Yeah.
I love her. Yeah.
Ten minutes of strength training.
10 minutes. I do it 5 days a week, and yeah. I feel very happy about that.
My bands, right? The kettlebell.
I'll show you my kettlebell.
A training kettlebell.
It's little, but it does a job for me.
It's cute.
It is cute, right? It's cute.
I think it's adorable.
It's little. I'll move up over time, but for now,
I'll be posting it all. My nephew says I should get 5,000 steps in, and for some reason, when I do my spin class, I only get about 2,000 steps. So I take a walk around the block, and I put my hands on the grass.
I saw the grass.
You touched the grass.
You see Claire? She was like, touch the damn grass.
I'm telling you,
it ended up being the best thing that's ever happened to me. The perspective shift.
Damn grass.
Just the whole thing. It's all an evolution. Touch the grass. I love it. And now we're evolving. We're evolving the podcast. We're evolving the content, evolving the community. Like, it's an evolution, baby. You know, that's my NSV evolution.
Yeah, you know what? That's my NSV. I touched the grass today.
Yeah, you did. Get it.
I'm taking a walk around the block in addition to my workouts because nephew says 5,000 steps.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. And my boyfriend jeans are actually boyfriend jeans now. They aren't skinny jeans.
Love it. Love it. See, NSVs all around. Love it. Yeah. All right, ladies. Well, as usual, it's been a lovely conversation.
Uh-oh.
And we will see you guys next week. Hasta
la pasta.
Bye.
Of GLP-1 medications. GLP-1s combat cravings, stabilize blood sugar, boost energy, and balance A1C levels for a regulated body and a kick-started weight loss journey. Iveen makes medical weight loss accessible, affordable, and personal. Schedule a free consultation with a medical provider to explore if GLP-1 medications are the right fit for you. Goodbye restrictions. Hello, Iveen. Your path to sustainable weight loss.
Time for a change rooted in lasting, evidence-backed wellness. Say goodbye to unsustainable diet culture with Friday's Weight Management Program. A nationwide virtual care platform built to address your biology.
The reason why I started Fridays is that I noticed that patients with obesity are often improperly treated and told to eat less and move more. Well, the science is in, and we now know that obesity is a chronic medical condition like high blood pressure and diabetes, and that there are many factors, including your genetics, that play a role in the development of obesity. We understand this at Fridays, and that's why we make sure to order labs and specific medications that work with you and your biology.
We're revolutionizing weight management, steering clear of weight loss fads, and embracing a scientifically driven approach. Our program charts a path to a healthier you, leveraging evidence-based treatments, nutritional support, and a team of specialized clinicians dedicated to guiding you towards optimal health. We ensure swift appointment scheduling and provide a knowledgeable insurance team for handling prior authorizations for GLP-1 medication. Fridays will also provide safe, compounded GLP-1 medication alternatives with fair and industry-leading pricing. Our eligibility quiz will match you with the provider that corresponds with your medical needs. Go to joinfridays.com to begin your journey to a healthier you today.
You interested in understanding GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro? Then join us on The Plus Sides, Cracking the Obesity Code, the groundbreaking podcast helping people change their lives one episode at a time. The Plus Sides podcast is a disruptor. We're breaking down barriers, smashing stereotypes, and sharing inspiring stories that'll leave you feeling informed and empowered. Join us every week to learn from doctors who are specialists around GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro. They'll provide you with science and facts to validate these incredible stories. But that's not all. We'll also bring you the voices of the GLP-1 Mounjaro TikTok community, real people who face the challenges of obesity-related diseases and disorders and discovered the incredible plus sides of GLP-1 medications. Our episodes are filled with heartwarming stories, laughter, and moments of triumph. You'll connect with our amazing community members who are reclaiming their health and experiencing their fullest lives. Are you ready to embark on a journey of discovery and empowerment? Tune in to The Plus Sides, Cracking the Obesity Code, and together we'll change the narrative around obesity and end the stigma. Subscribe now on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform and join our incredible community. Let's celebrate the plus sides of life together, because every story deserves to be heard. Every life deserves to shine, and everyone deserves access to expert knowledge and medication. The Plus Sides Podcast. You're not alone. It's not your fault.